Tonight, AEW is trying to reshape the wrestling conversation as everybody is talking about something very different. And they were trying to put the focus back on Revolution, which is typically one of the three biggest AEW shows of the entire year. And it's tough. It's a tough position for them to be in because you have everybody talking about what happened this weekend with John Cena. You have mainstream media covering what happened with John Cena this weekend. And it's WrestleMania season. So it's always tough to kind of break through the noise, especially when something big happens like what we saw this weekend. But there is another wrestling show this weekend. And AEW is not concerned so much about what happened on Saturday. They're concerned about what's happening this Sunday, which is, of course, Revolution. And trying to convince people that this show is worth digging into their pockets and paying for this pay-per-view. And so to that end, tonight was the go-home episode of Dynamite. They still have Collision coming up this Saturday, but this was the, for all intents and purposes, this was really the go-home show tonight. And I thought they did a good job. They didn't do a great job, nothing out of this world or anything like that. They did what they had to do, I felt, for the most part, to really push those key matches that are coming up on the show this weekend. And they had, you know, with Adam Copeland and Jon Moxley, they are in the main event for the AEW World Championship. I am hoping and praying to the wrestling gods above that we can put the nail in the coffin starting this weekend of the Death Riders, which is one of the worst angles in the history of this company. It is the mortal sin of the Death Riders is that it's boring. It's boring. There's nothing interesting about it. There's nothing really entertaining about it. And Jon Moxley is the world champion. So it all revolves around him. The Death Riders are the top heel faction, de facto heel faction, in the entire company. And it sucks. And they have an opportunity this weekend to put an end to it, to put an end to Jon Moxley's stranglehold on the AEW world title. And I had a completely different idea coming into this show tonight as to what I thought was going to happen at Revolution. And having seen what I saw on this show tonight, I have changed my mind as far as what I think is going to happen at Revolution in the main event this Sunday. And I got my fingers crossed, too, because if it all works out, it will end up with the AEW World Championship no longer being held hostage by Jon Moxley and the Death Riders. But I think I have a pretty good sense of where this may be going. I will talk about that. I will have my final predictions for Revolution. You guys, of course, can chime in with your own as well. But we did have some segments on the show tonight that kind of play into the main event coming up on Sunday. We also had another segment, a series of them actually, involving MJF, Hangman Page. That match is one of the top two matches that I am looking most forward to on the card this weekend. And they did another angle, this one with Hangman Page being left laying and almost being set on fire. Hangman knows a thing or two about setting things on fire. He himself almost got set on fire. Didn't happen, but maybe it's an indication of something that they're going to possibly do during their match on Sunday. It's not a Texas death match or anything, so hopefully there'll be no self-immolation or anything like that happening on the show. That is one of the two matches I'm most looking forward to. The other one involves the AEW Women's World Championship. Toni Storm defending against the former champion Mariah May. This is going to be the blow-off. It has to be. We're basically at the stage now where I think we were with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, where this feels like the end, and if it isn't, it needs to be. And I'm fairly certain it will be the end this weekend. And they had not a live segment in front of the crowd, but they had a sit-down interview segment that was pre-recorded with Renee. That was one of the best things, honestly, in the entire show tonight. And so I am very much looking forward to seeing what they have planned on Sunday, especially with the stipulation that they have. But that match, the MJF match, and the cage match. You know, we got a cage match with Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. We have a championship match with Konosuke Takeshita defending against Kenny Omega. There is a lot to look forward to on this Revolution card, despite the fact that AEW just feels like it's just been so overlooked in light of things that have happened in the wrestling world this past week. Let us not lose sight of the fact that there is on paper a pretty strong fucking pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. Now, whether or not Yeah, Tony Khan has some twists and turns coming out of the show or some major angles planned. We'll have to wait and see. But I am looking forward to Revolution this weekend. It is going to be, I think, an excellent show. They have a track record of their pay-per-views being excellent anyway. Not always on paper going into it does it look like it's the strongest card. Can't say that about this weekend. Hard to believe, too, by the way, that it's been a year since Sting retired. Sting had his retirement match at this very show a year ago. It's been 1 year. And here we are now, already. It's Revolution 2025. Man, where does the time go? I don't know, man. But we're going to talk about everything that happened on the show here tonight. This is your AEW Dynamite review. And it is Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. I'm the Solemn Monster. Thank you guys for hanging out with me and choosing me for your Dynamite coverage tonight. I do appreciate it. We've had some pretty big streams this week. Elimination Chamber, big post show on Monday night after Raw. And I will be live this Sunday after Revolution, whatever time it may end. But hopefully we'll have a good night here tonight talking about Dynamite. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. You will see them as they come in, pop up on your screen. If you have Revolution predictions on what you think may happen in the main event this Sunday, or you have other questions about anything else, get them on in, and we'll hang out a little bit later on in the stream, and we will go through them. Because that's why we're here. Dynamite came on the air tonight. Excalibur was doing commentary with Taz and Ian Riccoboni, which was fine with me because Ian Riccoboni, I think, is great on commentary. And they immediately cut outside the building where MJF was. And MJF cut a promo on Hangman Page and said that Hangman decided to poke at the devil, so it's Hangman to blame for what happened to Christopher Daniels. Okay, let's stop right there. Actually, I have to fact check this man. Christopher Daniels is responsible for what happened to Christopher Daniels, because the last time I checked, it was Christopher Daniels who was punching himself bloody in the head last week. So I don't even hold MJF responsible for what happened. He's innocent in all this. You want to blame anybody? Blame Christopher Daniels. He's the one who concussed himself last week. MJF said he will prove a point to Hangman, his shitty little Mark fan club, and right now he's in the streets of Sacramento for Hangman to come find him. If you want to talk about buckshots, MJF has a bullet with Page's name on it. It says, saddle up, partner, and let's ride. Now, Hangman did threaten last week, if you remember, when he left the building. He did threaten that he was going to run down this man with his car, with his truck, if he saw him. So, might not have been the best idea for MJF, of all places, to be waiting in what looked like the alley outside the venue where they were tonight. By the way, speaking of the venue, I almost forgot. This was the venue tonight. What you see on your screen. And no, this is not the attendance. This is not a live, real-time photo of the venue. Before we get any smart-ass comments here. But this was the Sacramento Memorial Auditorium. I like the look of the venue. Once they filled it in and everything, and they had the stage and the ring. Again, they've been running these intimate venues lately because they have to, because they just can't sell enough tickets for the bigger buildings. But I like these smaller venues that they've been running lately. I think it's just a different look. It's a different feel. And generally, you know, when you get a crowd that's smaller, and we're still talking about something in the 2,000 to 3,000 range, most weeks you get a vocal crowd. It just makes for a more enjoyable show. So I don't recall them ever running this venue before, but I enjoyed it. Now, after that, it was to the ring with Tony Schiavone for the contract signing. This is how they opened the show. With Swerve Strickland and Ricochet for their match, which is coming up on Sunday at Revolution. That match is going to determine the number one contender for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Prince Nana danced his way to the ring with Swerve. Ricochet walked out to boos. He was in a suit with a backwards ball cap on. He was not wearing Nana's embassy robe, as he has been doing over the last few weeks. He said, not to worry, though. It's in good hands. And actually, there are some modifications being made to it. But he is planning on wearing it when we see him at Revolution on Sunday. Nana had to be held back, and Ricochet told Swerve to control his grandpa. Ricochet said that these signings usually don't go too well for Swerve, all the contract signings that he's had before. But he should feel better knowing that Ricochet is there, because that way his house will not burn down this time. So Strickland is lucky that Ricochet is even giving him a rematch at all, because it was Swerve who stuck his nose in his business. And it was Swerve who tried to bully him. But even in the face of it all, Ricochet still beat him. Swerve repeatedly was asking him over and over again as he's cutting this promo, sign the contract. Sign the damn contract. He was stalling. Ricochet was stalling for time. He said he's one step closer to achieving his goal of winning the world championship. And then finally he signs the contract. So Swerve tells Ricochet, shut the hell up. He called him a self-righteous little prick, said that he will expose him for the coward that he is on Sunday. So Ricochet, he says, stole the embassy robe and stabbed him in the face with a pair of scissors. But the biggest mistake that he made is Ricochet left him breathing. And Ricochet has awoken the most dangerous man in AEW. He will put Ricochet in the ground. The only things Ricochet will be remembered for, two things. One is Swerve briefly reviving his career. Two, what will Ricochet be remembered for when all is said and done? His ring announcer wife. And everybody in the building popped for that line and got a holy shit chant. Ricochet was angry about that line, right? He sat up. He was not happy. So Swerve signed the contract. He went to go leave. And Ricochet gets up. And Ricochet spins him around. And he goes to stab him with the golden scissors, which he has used on him before. Swerve saw it coming. And he was able to stop him. He pulls out his own pair of scissors. And he jabs Ricochet right in his bald head with them. And Ricochet goes down. And they keep the camera tightly focused on Swerve for a pretty long period of time. Which is, I figured, okay, when we see Ricochet next, he's going to be coming up. He's going to be bloody. And sure enough, when they showed Ricochet, well, he wasn't gushing or anything. But he was bleeding from the head. So Swerve got his revenge for what was done to him previously. So it was Swerve and Prince Nana who stood tall when this segment was over. Swerve was in the main event, though, tagging with Brody King tonight against Ricochet and Kazuchika Okada. So I figured there was a pretty good chance that would not be the case by the time this show was over. And that's exactly what happened. But I thought this was a fine angle here to build to their match on Sunday. You know, Ricochet's ring announcer wife may yet end up on AEW television. She may yet end up managing this man, which would not be the worst idea. In fact, I endorse this idea. I am wondering, though, there is still a chance. I floated the idea last week. I didn't say that I think it's definitely going to happen. I came away from that segment last week where Nana called Swerve back into the ring and says, boss, I got to talk to you about something. And he says, look, that robe means a lot to me. You need to get it back. I've taken a lot of bullets for you. Whether it was Sting, whether it was the Hurt Syndicate, whether it was Ricochet, whether it was Hangman or anybody else, you need to get that robe back for me. And if not, I don't know that this could work anymore. And then he walked out on him. Now, this week he was in the ring with him and all as well. It's not like, Nana wasn't on the show. But I thought, man, they're not going to turn Nana heel, are they? They're going to have Nana turn on Swerve and align with Ricochet? The only thing I like about that is I think that that would be a huge benefit for Ricochet. Swerve need Prince Nana? No, he doesn't need him. I would hate to break up that combo because I think it works so well. That's how I felt about Brock and Paul Heyman for years. It got to a point after a while where it's like, does Brock need Heyman? No, he doesn't need him anymore. Like, it's not like he's going to die on the vine without him. But they went together like peanut butter and jelly, and it was hard for me to envision Brock without Paul Heyman. Of course, I didn't know that Paul Heyman would go on to be with Roman Reigns for the next 4 years. So Swerve doesn't need him, but I would hate to see them break up. I am feeling a little bit better this week about the fact that that's not going to happen, and we are not going to get a Swerve on Swerve. Can't rule it out, but I don't think that's going to happen. Next, Excalibur threw it to a video package about how AEW Revolution, this was the big announcement that AEW made today. Revolution, for the first time starting this weekend, is going to be available on Amazon Prime Video. So if you have a subscription to Prime Video, you will be able to order Revolution. I say order revolution. There is some confusion about this. I don't know why there is confusion about this, but let's clear this up right now. If you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, all this means you will now have another way to watch Revolution. It does not mean that it comes free with your subscription. You are still going to have to pay the $50 or whatever it may be, wherever you may live. I don't know how it works if you're an international viewer as far as Amazon Prime. This may be U.S. only. In fact, I think it is U.S. only. But yes, if you were wondering, you will have to pay your usual pay-per-view fee on top of whatever you pay for your Amazon Prime subscription. But it's just another way. It just makes the event more available, more widely available to people. You could still buy it on Triller. You could still buy it, you know, whatever other way you typically buy it, YouTube. Just so you know, it looks like Triller, honestly, if you buy these shows and you're in the U.S., Triller is the way to go. Triller has a combo going on right now. You can buy Revolution and Dynasty next month for $85. Now, here, it's usually $50. You save $20 or whatever, $15, whatever it is, if you buy the bundle. The times that I've ordered from Triller in the past, it runs smoothly. I've never had any issues. It's not like Bleacher Report, you know, fuck Bleacher Report. So if you are looking for a deal and you do typically buy these shows and you are living in the U.S., just be aware of that. Triller is probably going to be the best way to go for you. Now, the opening match of the show had a whole bunch of people in it. It was one of these, you know, AEW multi-man matches. We see this quite often. It was Will Ospreay, Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, and Powerhouse Hobbs taking on Lance Archer, Brian Cage, Mark Davis, and the Bounty Hunter. On loan, I guess, from the Learning Tree, Brian Keith. Like I said, this was your typical AEW multi-man match. They slap these things together. It degenerates into chaos. It usually ends up being pretty fun. I mean, sometimes it's just run-of-the-mill stuff, and then other times it's just people go crazy with big moves and big spots, and the fans are really into it, and this would fit into that latter category tonight. Really, it just existed for the post-match angle involving Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. Excalibur told us that Mark Davis, so as the heels are coming out, Excalibur on commentary tells us that Mark Davis is still an unwilling participant with the Don Callis family. And he says this as Davis is walking to the ring and they show him nodding in agreement with whatever Don Callis is saying. So the heels had Cassidy isolated during the commercial break. They come back from break. Callis gets up from the announce desk. He walks over to Orange Cassidy, who's laying on the floor outside. He starts putting the boots to him. So he gets heat for that. Archer and Davis, they took turns passing Cassidy off in the vertical suplex position before Cassidy finally hit a Stun Dog Millionaire on Davis. He tagged in Will Hobbs. We got dives here from Ospreay and Briscoe outside that led to OC. My man, OC, he's my twin. He leapt off of Powerhouse Hobbs' shoulders for a splash on Mark Davis. Brian Keith broke up the pin. Keith wanted an exploder. Hobbs didn't budge, though. Turned Keith inside out with a lariat. Later on, Keith cut Cassidy off on the ropes with an avalanche exploder before slugging it out with Mark Briscoe. Things broke down at this point. Archer brought a chair into the ring. He chased the referee away, ran into a Briscoe punch, and Briscoe hit a springboard dive out onto the Murder Machines. Ospreay laid out Brian Keith with an os cutter, connected on a hidden blade, and he won it for the babyfaces. After the match was over, and again, this is really all this was meant for. It was all about the setup for the post-match angle here. Cassidy and Briscoe, they were laid out as Davis sank in a sleeper hold on Will Ospreay in the ring. Outside the ring, they repositioned the ring steps, and we had the Murder Machines hitting a choke bomb on Will Hobbs on top of the steps. That left Ospreay all alone with the Don Callis family. And wouldn't you know, here comes Kyle Fletcher. Now that Ospreay is outnumbered, he's just wrestled this match. Now he's been beaten down. He's been overwhelmed by all these men. Here comes Kyle Fletcher. and he's taking his time coming down to the ring. He saunters on down to the ring, and this guy is looking shredded. You could tell, like, he's been in the gym. He's been, so whatever his new workout routine is. But he's getting himself in shape like we've never seen this man before. He's in superstar shape now. So he gets in the ring and he puts the boots to Ospreay. He starts firing off some right hands. He's raining blows down upon this man. And this is too much, evidently, for Mark Davis. Despite everything he has done up until this point, Mark Davis decides, you know what, I've seen enough. And he goes over to Kyle Fletcher and he pulls him off and he gets scolded for it. And Fletcher gets right up in his former partner's face and he's yelling at him. He says, you need to know your place. You need to do as you're told. So he hands him the chair that was brought in earlier and he says, hit Ospreay with it. He wants him to use it on Ospreay as a weapon. And so he does. He blasts Ospreay in the back with this chair. Then he's ordered to the back. Fletcher hits a brainbuster on the chair, which is now sitting in the middle of the ring, and he posed over Ospreay's dead body to end the segment. I find the Mark Davis stuff pretty silly. I know where they're probably going with it, assuming we get that as a payoff. You can tell kind of what they're building to, but they're very inconsistent with it. Now, if they actually wanted to really build this up, This whole story that this man is being held against his will, maybe it hits a little too close to home for some of the people that were recently finally released by Tony Khan. Maybe that's why they didn't want to do the angle. They didn't want somebody who's under a contract that they don't want to be under. In this case, he's under contract to Don Callis. Maybe it's sort of like art imitating life, and Tony didn't really want to put that story out there and play it up too much. Hits a little close to home. But if they invested the time week to week to week on this show in backstage segments, right? The Callis family is hanging out or whatever in their locker room and Don Callis is giving him a pep talk or whatever, lounging out on the couch, and they're just bullying this man. You know, they're bullying Mark Davis. And if they really played this out week after week, they could really build sympathy for this man. I don't get the sense that a lot of people have a whole lot of sympathy for Mark Davis. I don't get the sense a lot of people know all that much about Mark Davis. I don't get the sense they really care about Mark Davis. And so when we get the inevitable quote-unquote payoff, and it could happen on Sunday for all we know, where they want Davis to do something and he says, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Puts his foot down, he stands his ground, maybe he shoves Fletcher, he punches him, knocks him down, he says, fuck this, I'm out of here, right? In the moment, I mean, it should get a good pop, but after that, what happens to Mark Davis? Nothing. He's done. His goose is cooked. Because the real superstar here is Kyle Fletcher. It's not Mark Davis. Doesn't mean, though, that you can't take the time to tell that story, so when we get that moment, if we get that moment, it'll be more meaningful. And who knows, maybe then you can try to do something with Mark Davis. But it's pretty clear that when he finally does break away from the Callis family, it's not going to mean anything. Honestly, what do you think they're going to do with Mark Davis? They're not going to do shit with him. So he'll fade into the background and that'll be the end of that. Fletcher, again, he's the priority here. He came out tonight. He's putting in the best work of his career. They have taken a lot of very positive steps with him over the last several months as far as positioning him to look and feel like a real star. He's out there. He looks like, you know what? This guy could be a future world champion. This guy is going to be a future world champion. So all they have to do is just stay on the straight and narrow with this guy. Keep doing what they're doing. They have developed someone who can really, honestly, can be a star. A true star, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else. Even if he goes out there and loses on Sunday to Will Ospreay, if the match is done in a way to really be a spotlight for Kyle Fletcher, and he goes out there and he has a memorable moment, which I'm kind of afraid of, what that memorable moment could look like in a cage match, all he has to do is go out there and have the match of his life. And even in defeat, it won't hurt him. Like, he'll be okay. But I, you know, credit where it's due. I think they've done a very good job of building him up. I think him with Callis was smart. I think that was absolutely the way to go. Don Callis is the closest thing that this company has right now, honestly, to a Paul Heyman type or a Jim Cornette type or a Bobby Heenan type. Like, that is what Don Callis is. He goes out there. He gets a ton of heat. There is no redeeming qualities about this man whatsoever. People don't think, they don't look at him and they think, oh, he's a funny guy, or they hate his guts. And he go, and he's, you know, he's a good promo. He goes out there and he cuts promos for Takeshita and some of his guys, and he's put together this stable of people. It was smart. It was smart to put Fletcher with him. I'm more curious what they do with him after the stuff with Ospreay is done. I hope they've got something lined up for him to kind of keep that growth and keep that momentum going. I don't know what that would be. I don't know who that might be. But Sunday could very well end up being the biggest match of his life. I'm looking forward to it. We had Adam Copeland in what was definitely not the biggest match of his life, taking on Wheeler Yuta, the final member of the Death Riders, yet to be killed off by Adam Copeland. And they had, you know, they had a shot here of Yuta. He entered from the outside of the building, and the camera followed him as he walked into the building, through the crowd, and into the ring. And they showed us highlights of what's gone down over the last few weeks. Pac was the first one to get taken out. And then we had Willow Nightingale got involved, right? And she gave a concerto, I think, to Marina Shafir. So Marina got taken out and Claudio got taken out. And after weeks of violent attacks, what did we end up with here? We ended up with a competitive wrestling match. Adam Copeland is going into what I assume is going to be the main event on Sunday at Revolution to challenge for the AEW World title. And he's out here tonight having a very competitive match with Wheeler Yuta. So there was a cattle mutilation attempt by Yuta. Copeland slipped out right into a crossface. Yuta spun out into a pin for a two count. Copeland hit the Impaler DDT. He wanted a spear, but he ran into the Bryan Danielson Busaiku knee. Only got a near fall out of it. Cattle mutilation was applied. Copeland, though, powered up into the Glam Slam. He used Beth Phoenix's Glam Slam here in this match. Both men were down. Yuta tried to come back lariat. He spun right into a spear, and Copeland pinned him. After the match, Copeland took the microphone. He helped Yuta to his feet, and he shook his hand, and he said, "This is what respect feels like." And then he left the ring. And Yuta stood there processing, kind of looking confused and processing what he just heard. You know, they keep trying to make Wheeler Yuta a thing. That's why he's part of the top heel group in this company, right? He was hand-chosen to be a part of this group, and I'm just not buying it. You know, look, I'm all for pushing younger stars, newer stars, trying to make something out of them. You know, they're doing that right now with Daniel Garcia and the TNT title. They've tried it with Jack Perry. We've seen some of the pillars of the company, whether it be Darby, MJF, Sammy Guevara. I'm all for trying to push younger, newer talents. And it, as opposed to just people like Moxley and Copeland, right, who made their names and cut their teeth somewhere else and who are a lot older. Whatever they're trying to do with Wheeler Yuta here, trying to have him rub shoulders with all these main eventers with the hope that one day, you know, maybe that'll be him in this role, I don't buy it. They keep trying. They can try all they want to, but I don't see it. Now, John Moxley marched into the ring from the crowd. He's screaming and yelling at Yuta, and he's paintbrushing him repeatedly. Yuta actually then gives Moxley a little face shove, and he walks out. So Moxley follows him. He's barking at him all the way to the back. Yuta leaves. Moxley looks into the camera. He congratulates Adam Copeland. He says, "Your manipulation worked. Now I'm all by myself," right? There's nobody left. Yuta has walked out on John Moxley. Marina Shafir is gone. Claudio is gone. Pac is gone. I mean, Moxley still has Renee there. So, I mean, there's always that. But the Death Riders are down to one. For the first time now, John Moxley is going into this title defense at Revolution, and things are going to look very different because He's all by himself. It's going to be, you think, right? It's going to be a fair fight. And he says Copeland got what he wanted, but he'll do nothing to Moxley on Sunday. Moxley said, this business is not about respect. He's the only one who gets this. You get respect one way. It's when you're willing to pull the trigger, something that he has to do on Sunday. I, for one, hope that Tony Khan pulls the trigger on this entire fucking angle on Sunday. That's what I hope. Knowing him, though, he may face the gun the wrong way. He'll blow his brains out. He needs to aim it right at the Death Riders and seriously, just right in the back of the head. End this and move on, please. That's what I'm hoping for. What I am not hoping for, but I don't put it past them to do it, is that what we saw here with Yuta is all a ruse. It's all, you know, kind of a, it's all like a wink and a nod, and we're going to have Wheeler Yuta come out, as he has done many times before in these main events on pay-per-view. Wheeler Yuta is going to come out on Sunday, and it's all bullshit. And he's going to cost Adam Copeland the match, and it's going to play into the finish, and Jon Moxley, with the assist from Wheeler Yuta, is going to retain the AEW World Championship. That would be the absolute worst thing. The worst thing that they could do. Let's hope not. Let's hope not. Or if they do it, it makes for a great near fall. And you think, oh my God, this is fucking bullshit. And then Copeland gets the arm up. And everybody cheers, right? Because their plan didn't work. And the match continues. I don't buy this. I don't buy this. Whether it leads directly into the finish on Sunday or not. What I saw here, I call bullshit on this. We'll talk more about this main event here in a little bit. Because what we got after this was awesome. It was brief, but it was one of my favorite things of the night. They aired this amazing 1980s-style music video that looked like it was straight off VHS. It even said 1987. You know, like if you watched MTV back in the day. Lower left-hand corner of the screen, they give you the name of the song, the artist, the year. It said 1987 on there. And it showed the Outrunners training. They were running under a bridge, and they were doing all kinds of cardio and all kinds of preparation because they're challenging the Hurt Syndicate for the tag team titles of Revolution on Sunday. So they were in full training mode here. I love this. This was maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes if that, but I thought this was great. Now, Renee went to go speak with MJF, who was waiting for Hangman, still waiting for Hangman outside the building. And as MJF is looking into the camera and talking, in the background, finally, we see the truck, the car, whatever it was. I think it was just a car with horns on the hood. Here comes JBL pulling up behind MJF. But no, it's fucking Magnum TA here. And he gets out of the car. And Hangman chases after MJF, who makes a run for it, right? So MJF disappears. Hangman gets out of the car. He goes to chase after him. And it ends with Hangman seemingly catching up to him. And he fights MJF into the building and into the aisleway. And even throws him into the barricade. And MJF, or what looks like MJF, is on the ground now, begging. He's begging off. And he's begging for his life. He's dressed exactly like MJF, but it was an MJF lookalike. And whoever this guy is, again, he's on the ground saying, he made me do it. He made me do it over and over again. And Hangman is confused by this because he's an idiot, right? Everybody else can figure out what's going on here, but he's like, what's going on? And then eventually the real MJF shows up and he ambushes him from behind. They end up in the ring. Hangman fights back. He goes for a buckshot lariat, but as he slingshots his way into the ring, MJF kicks him in the balls. And he gives Page the Heat Seeker pile driver. He removes his dress shirt. Underneath, it shows MJF wearing a t-shirt that says, MJF did nothing wrong. It's what Kevin Owens should have worn when he went into that ladder match with Cody. Kevin Owens did nothing wrong. So a bunch of security geeks run out. MJF makes quick work of them, and he puts on the Dynamite Diamond ring, and he's going to blast this man in the head with it, but Page double legs him down to the mat. Doesn't matter, though, because when they end up back on their feet, MJF hits him with the ring. So MJF takes the microphone. He said the fans love it when their precious hangman burns things, so let's see how they feel when he does it. He goes outside, and he pulls out a can of lighter fluid, sprays it all over Hangman. He pulls out a lighter. This is about to get very dark. But finally, referees and some more security, they dove in. They had to carry MJF out of the ring, and all the while he's screaming, "Let me prove my point." So that was the last bit of hype heading into their match on Sunday. It was fine. I mean, look, I was already hyped up for this match even before this. This didn't really do much to get me that much more excited for it. I just want to see these guys go in there and have a great match. You know, this is a program I've been looking forward to. This is part one. This is chapter one. This will not be the only match that these two have. I don't know if they're going to have two. I don't know if they're going to have three. We don't even know when the rematch is going to be. I was just talking about this on TNT last night. You know, we're going to get the first match here. I mean, again, it's been years since they wrestled, but we're going to get the first match on Sunday. It's entirely possible we don't even get a rematch for a few months. Because I'm looking at MJF and Hangman. This is what I see as like the longer term vision heading into the summer when it comes to the AEW World Championship. I would love it if they could find a way to get that title on MJF in the next 2 months, 3 months. And when they get to All in Texas, let the payoff be Hangman Page beating MJF to win back the AEW World Championship. I mean, it's just one idea, but I can endorse that. I can get behind that. You know, you got the Owen Hart tournament, I'm sure, that will come up and proceed All in. Hangman can win his shot in the tournament. There's a number of different ways they could go with this. But this is not going to be a one and done, obviously. I'm looking forward to the match. It's one of the top two matches I'm looking forward to on Sunday, regardless of whether or not he tried to burn this man to death. I don't really care about that either way. I just want to see the match. Lexi Nair was in the back with writer and director of the new movie Queen of the Ring, Ash Avildsen. I hope I said that right. Who tells us about the movie. Jim Ross apparently is an executive producer. I know Jim Cornette, I think, in the movie has a role. He's playing the role of the NWA commissioner. And he talks about Mildred Burke until he brings in one of the stars of the film, Timeless Toni Storm. Actually, you know who else is in the film? Naomi. And they pulled Naomi the other night from a red carpet event because they wanted her to sell the injuries from Jade Cargill from Elimination Chamber. But then I saw she popped up on, I don't know if it was the same event they changed their mind or it was a different event, but she did make it to the red carpet the other night with Jimmy, and she had a neck brace on. So that was her way of selling the injury. She was able to go, but she had to wear a neck brace. She's in the movie as well. A bunch of wrestlers in the movie. I'm gonna talk about that in a second. But Timeless Toni Storm shows up, and she joked that, you know, it's a real stretch for her playing a curvaceous vixen. But she was disappointed that her gratuitous nude scene was deleted from the movie, and you could hear that this got audible boos from the people in the building. So Avildsen says that we want families to come see this movie. It's PG-13, but that scene is in my collection. Fucking pervert. So Tony said, chin up. Tits out, watch Queen of the Ring on March 7th. And they said the upcoming match that we were about to see is presented by Queen of the Ring. And so the next match was Chris Statlander and Thunder Rosa taking on Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. Tony Khan has three women under contract right now working for AEW who actually are in this movie. You would never know it if you watched AEW television. You would never know it if you followed AEW social media, at least not from what I saw. But he's got three people under contract who were in this movie that they were advertising tonight. And there was no mention of this. Britt Baker apparently is in the movie. Toni Storm is in the movie. So they did mention that. Of course, she's the world champion. So they mentioned that she's in the movie. And Camille, who we haven't seen in months. Not only is Camille in the movie, Camille apparently is playing one of the key characters in the movie. I think Camille is actually playing like the lead villain in the movie. And they have done nothing to promote this fact. Camille has not even been seen on television in months. The fact that they have not bothered to mention any of this from anything that I saw, the fact that she was at the red carpet premiere the other day, the fact that she's even in the movie, honestly, it tells me that she's done. I mean, she's done. If they had any plans for this woman to bring her back in a major angle and to push her in any significant way, you would think that this would have been mentioned at some point. Even if not tonight, that it would have been really mentioned at some point. Is it the fact that they have some grand idea for her return and it's been a mystery what her condition is and they don't want to tip their hat? No, I don't think they have any plan for her. I'd love to be wrong about that, but that's my sense of it. Whatever it was, they lost interest in doing anything with this woman. And she may be the next one who rides out her contract until the end. I would love to know. I mean, I know where it went wrong creatively, but I would love to know where it went wrong behind the scenes when it comes to this woman, because there's no way that if they thought highly of her or had major plans for her, that this is how she would have been booked and this is the way that she would be treated right now. I don't believe that. So I would love to know where it all went wrong. Storyline-wise, I know exactly where it went wrong. I talked about it multiple times here on these shows, how they dropped the ball with her and that whole angle with Mercedes last year. But in the movie, she plays June Byers, who, again, I think is the lead villain in the film. Funny enough, the person who was originally cast for that role was not Camille. It was Charlotte Flair. And it was actually WWE who got in touch with the producers of the movie. As the story goes, they didn't reach out to WWE because they figured it's just going to be a lot of bureaucracy and red tape and it's going to be very difficult to make it work, so we're not even going to bother. And then evidently somebody from WWE reached out to them and said, hey, we would like to maybe get a couple of our stars in this movie. And they cast Charlotte Flair for the role of June Byers. They cast Liv Morgan for the role of, God, what's her name? Is it Clara Mortensen? I forgot exactly who it was. But apparently it was a character that her background almost mirrors Liv's background. Because Liv started as a waitress, and there was a wrestling fan, I think, that saw her. And that was kind of her entry into wrestling. She worked at Hooters. Liv Morgan, she was a Hooters girl, right? And look at where she is now. But anyway, so they had a role for her to play in the movie. Charlotte and Liv were going to be in this movie. And then literally days before they were about to begin filming, WWE completely fucked them over. And they wouldn't allow them to sign off on whatever paperwork needed to be signed off on. And they just totally screwed these people over. So they had to recast the role. That's how Camille got the part. Otherwise, it would have been Charlotte Flair in this movie. Apparently, they have footage of her even shooting some of the scenes or whatever. So I think the director or one of the producers said that maybe it'll be like a DVD extra one day. Maybe that footage will see the light of day. So yeah, way to go, WWE. Good job fucking these people over. The match. Statlander used her power in the early going. She did a handstand out of a head scissors into a dropkick. Was making pretty frequent tags here with Thunder Rosa. Penelope Ford was able to recover. She hit a drop kick in the ropes as she tried to lick Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa was not having any of this, and she hit a stalling drop kick of her own. Megan Bain came in with a pump kick, caught Rosa in midair, launched her to the floor onto Statlander, and then Bain looks over at her tag team partner. She looks over at Penelope Ford and grabs her, presses her over her head without her consent, clearly, and then threw her partner out, and she wiped out the baby faces on the floor. So Megan Bain stands tall heading into the commercial. They come back from the break. Rosa manages to hit an enziguri that drops Bain, makes the hot tag to Statlander. She flies in with a missile dropkick. Penelope tried a handspring corner elbow, accidentally hits her own partner, Statlander then clobbers her with a running boot, hits a spinning Michinoku driver. Rosa launches herself off of Statlander's back to hit a corner drop kick on Penelope, and Rosa hits a drop kick through the ropes to the floor outside. Penelope trips up Statlander on the top rope, sends her crashing down to the floor. Penelope's posing. That allowed Rosa to drag her into the ring. She licked her face and decked her with a stiff lariat. Ford backed Rosa into her own corner. Bane tagged in, ran into a corner boot. Rosa tried fighting off both women, hit a stunner on Megan, but Ford was able to escape, sent Rosa into the arms of Megan Bane, who hoisted her up and dropped her with an F5 to win it for the heels. This was a good match. It was a good match, and the right woman went over here. You know, you had Megan Bane getting the winning fall. They've done a good job in the very short period of time, that awful segment last week aside. I mean, that was horrendous. With Thunder Rosa coming in with the chair, and then everything just kind of degenerated and fell apart at that point. That was one of the most embarrassing things I've seen all year. That aside, what they have done so far with Megan Bane in a short period of time, they've done a very good job of really building her up as a force in this division. So just keep doing what you're doing. You know, Megan Bane, she looks like a star. You know, she can work. She's got a great look. She can be a major player in this division. It's still early yet, but if they keep doing what they're doing with her, she'll get there. She'll get there in due time. Now, Renee was backstage, and she introduced the TBS champion, Mercedes Moné. She brings up beating Momo Watanabe before, but she's legit, and she's beaten some of the best to get yet another shot. And that was, I mean, that really was the crux of the promo. I mean, this really wasn't much of a promo. They didn't give her a whole lot of time here, but it was a way to get her on the show, I guess. They said Momo would be facing Serena Deeb on Collision, and Mercedes will be watching, looking for Serena to break Watanabe for her as they head into Revolution this weekend. We had another Max Caster Open Challenge, which has turned into one of the more entertaining things on these shows. Caster said that he's the most talked about wrestler in AEW and said that the Maximaniacs are always talking. But tonight, he wants everybody to get on the same page, and he tried to lead the fans in a chant, a long chant, of "Let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler alive," which is a mouthful, as chants go. And so, not surprisingly, it didn't get any traction, and the people did not chant this. So Caster called them a bunch of ball bags, and he called for his open challenge opponent to come on down. And unfortunately for him, that turned out to be Switchblade Jay White. And as the match started, Caster, he tried again to get the chant going. Instead, he walked right into a Blade Runner. And just like that, Jay White gets the pin. I didn't even bother writing down how long this went. I don't think it went even 10 or 15 seconds. It was over just like that. Jay White takes the microphone. He said that at World's End, Copeland joined the fight against the Death Riders. And he had Jay White's back, and he has had Copeland's back. Now Moxley is all alone. And he says, "I will be there at Revolution to see the new AEW World Champion crowned." And he paused, and he looked in the camera, and he said, "Cope." Now, was he saying Cope as in Adam Copeland? Or did he pause there and say cope as you'll have to cope with what happens on Sunday at Revolution? Because what they did here is they all but told you that Jay White is going heel on Sunday. I would be stunned if he ends up not going heel or going into business for himself in some way. And so this ties back to what I said at the beginning of the review, where I'm changing my mind. I had an idea of where I thought this was going to go on Sunday, and everything now, I've blown everything up. And I watched this segment here, and first of all, they should turn Jay White. I hope they turn Jay White, because Jay White is a much better heel than he is a babyface. That's number one. So I fully endorse that idea. Someone last week here on the stream, and I don't remember who it was, someone suggested Christian tries to cash in. He's got that contract. Don't forget, Christian has that contract for a guaranteed world championship match. He's been carrying this thing around since August. And someone suggested that Christian will come out and he will try to cash in. Jay White, though, is going to steal it away from him and put his name on the contract instead. And, you know, I didn't really give it too much thought as far as, well, you know, yeah, that sounds about right. I think that's what's going to happen and whatever. Because I really wasn't thinking along the lines of, like, Jay White is going to turn heel and factor into the finish of this match. I just didn't think that was the direction that this was going to go in. But that could very well be the way they get this championship off Jon Moxley. And you can have a situation where Adam Copeland goes out there on Sunday and he beats Jon Moxley to win the AEW World title. Christian comes out to cash in that contract, right, on his former best friend. And here comes Jay White. Now, Jay White has issues with Christian that go back to last summer in the Owen Hart tournament. Blames Christian for injuring him. He suffered a foot injury. He missed 3 months, right? This was all documented when Jay White came back from his injury. His goal is to make Christian pay for what he did and to make his life hell. So he still has issues with Christian. It would make sense for him to come out. Christian is going to attempt to cash in that contract. But remember that stupid angle they did months ago, that tease. And Kip Sabian ran out. But this is before Kip Sabian joined the patriarchy. And Kip Sabian came out and ripped the contract away from him before he had the chance to cash it in and do anything with it. And it was at that point that they established this dumb rule. And I don't think they've acknowledged this since. So maybe they've dropped it. But I know they did this angle where he has to first sign his name to the contract before he could cash it in, which is, of course, it's just stupid, right? Why would it work that way? He's been carrying this thing around for how many months now? His fucking name's not on there. But if we assume that that's the way this works, he has to first come out and quickly sign his name on that contract. So theoretically, Jay White can come out, beat the fuck out of him, take the contract, put his name on it, and then he can use the contract to cash in for a championship match. And just saying that sounds ridiculous because Christian won the contract. That's my point. Like, why would you even need to sign your name to the contract? You won it. You earned it. But if that's the rule, Jay White is going to take that contract. Jay White is going to cash in. And Jay White is leaving Revolution this Sunday as the AEW World Champion. That's the vision. That's the vision. He's too chummy with Adam Copeland. Jay White, he's a better heel, right? He's just a real prick heel. And it just works so much better than him being a babyface. It's exactly the sort of thing I would expect the real Jay White to do. Not this, babyface Jay White, hey, you know, I'm going to watch your back. I'm going to be your buddy this Sunday at Revolution. Like, no, that's not Jay White, man. That's not Switchblade. Switchblade wants to be the AEW World Champion. He will find whatever means necessary to attain that goal. His goal is not to help Adam Copeland this Sunday. His goal is to help himself. Christian, meanwhile, he loses his shot. Jay White takes it, and we get a new AEW World Champion. And it's great because he goes heel, and it gets the title off of Jon Moxley. That is the objective here. And I don't give a shit how it happens. It could play out exactly the way that I just said, or you could have Adam Copeland win. He beats Jon Moxley. He wins the championship. And then have Christian come out and try to cash in. And Jay White takes it from him. And Jay White, who told Adam Copeland, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for your match. You've watched my back. I'm going to be there to watch your back. No, he's not. He's going to be there to stab him in the back and take the title away from him. And he'll have a very short run as AEW World Champion, right? Tony Khan will be able to say, just like Bryan Danielson, we had Adam Copeland on the list of world champions in my company. I don't care how it happens. But that, I think, is the vision for Sunday. And I'm fine with it. because I'm over the Death Riders. I'm over this Moxley run. I'm done with it, and I'm ready to move on. Now, I don't want to wait until Texas. I don't want to wait until Double or Nothing. It needs to end on Sunday. And I don't sit here and say that as somebody like, man, this guy is getting such great heat. I really hate Jon Moxley, man. He's such a good bad guy. I can't wait to see him lose the title. Like, no, no. It's not heat in a good way. It's basically at the point of go away heat with me, this entire angle. I want it to go away. This is the way that we get to that point. We don't wait for Darby. We don't wait for anybody else. It happens this Sunday. That's what I want to see happen. And honestly, I think that there's a very good chance that's exactly the way it's going to happen. Let's all get a prayer circle going and will it into existence here. We end up with Jay White as the AEW World Champion even for a couple of months. I got no issue with that. I don't see him taking it all the way to Texas. But you know what? Whatever happens, as long as that's the end result, that's okay with me. Renee was not done yet. Her night was not over. We had one of the better things on this show tonight, coming up next, which was her sit-down interview with the world champion Toni Storm and the challenger on Sunday, Mariah May. Renee thanked both women for sitting down and agreeing to no physicality. Mariah immediately spat in Toni's face, and Toni just didn't budge. She just sat there. She had the belt in her lap, and she's just standing there or sitting there and staring. Mariah said that Toni loved her, but Toni started this, and Renee yelled at Mariah and said, look, you're the one responsible for all this. And Mariah said that Toni survived her in Australia, but there's no surviving revolution, and she's going to be the sickest bitch that you've ever seen. Deep inside, she says, Toni knows that Mariah did it better. And her facial expressions and just her whole demeanor was perfect here, because she looks like a woman in the middle of a meltdown. She looks like she is in the middle of a nervous breakdown or a psychotic episode. She has been broken by losing that title in Australia. This is broken Mariah that we have now. And it's great. And so she's saying all these things, and she said, this is what Toni always wanted. A trilogy with her favorite co-star. They can have their Hollywood ending that they've always dreamed of. Then it was the champion's time to speak. Toni said that Mariah does not deserve the dignity of death. I sentence you to a lifetime of mediocrity. Sounds like the Death Riders. I sentence you to a lifetime of mediocrity. Your career will continue. It'll be good, but never great. People will like you, but never love you. Your star will dwindle. It will be replaced and forgotten. Some will ask, whatever happened to Mariah May? But they will learn that she found out what happens when you try to kill God. So Mariah threw the chair aside, and Renee just said, look, I seriously hope that neither one of you get hurt. And both Mariah and Toni at the same time said, pray for her, as the segment ended. This was great stuff. I thought this was great. I love the way that Toni just completely, just her reaction to Mariah, she just deadpanned her. Just the most, like, stoic, no emotion in her response. Like, you'll be good, but you won't be great. You know, like, and just really, like, driving the knife in. So I thought she was great. Mariah was great. They're having a Hollywood ending match. And I was wondering up until a few days ago, what the hell is a Hollywood ending match? Like, and they haven't even told us what that means. And I talked about it on TNT last night. I said, you know, I would love if they had something like a Hollywood backlot brawl. Very similar to what Roddy Piper and Goldust had all those years ago at WrestleMania, even if they have to pre-tape it. Let them start out in the parking lot or in like a Hollywood backlot style area and just let them beat the living shit out of each other. And then they could fight into the building and have the match end in the ring if that's what they want. Well, apparently a Hollywood ending match is a Falls Count Anywhere match, which is great because they could still do that, right? They could brawl out of the building. They could brawl anywhere they want to go. So that opens it up to all kinds of possibilities. So again, I'm really looking forward to this match. This will be it. This is the blow-off. What we got at Grand Slam, they had a good match, but you could tell they were holding back, especially in that finish, right? The roll-up finish. It's like, okay, this feud is not ending on a roll-up. this right here, this is what this whole thing has been building towards. So it's probably going to get bloody. It's probably going to get violent. Toni Storm in the end, I'm getting ahead of myself with the predictions here, but Toni Storm is not losing her championship. Mariah May will lose. Mariah May will have to move on to whatever is next for Mariah May. I'm not even sure who's next for Toni Storm. But this all comes to an end on Sunday in the most glorious way possible, because this is one of the stories that they have really taken great pains to really invest in and make sure that it's told the right way. They've told a great story with these two. Their character work has been great. It's really one of the shining beacons of this creative team. Whoever was responsible for putting this together, RJ City, I know, had involvement in this. I'm sure that Toni and Mariah were pretty hands-on as well. Maybe Toni Khan. Whoever's responsible, ultimately, for what we're seeing with these two women should be applauded, because it's some of the best creative work that we've seen on this show for the last year and a half. And part of me is sad that it's coming to an end, but it's time. It's time for it to come to an end. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You know what I would tell someone if they said that they were going online with that ExpressVPN? I would tell them to take out an ad on a giant billboard. And on that giant billboard, they should plaster all of their passwords and all of their credit card information. And then they would ask me, why the hell would I do that? And I would tell them, because that's what going online with that ExpressVPN is like. It's like broadcasting your personal information for all the world to see. You need a VPN because every time you connect to a network that's not encrypted, whether it's in a restaurant, an airport, a hotel, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on that same network could easily gain access to and steal your private data, like passwords and credit card details. You would be surprised by how little technical knowledge it takes to hack someone. A kid in middle school could do it. And even worse, they could turn around and sell your data on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it's super secure and easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button and you're protected. Plus, it works on all devices, including phones, laptops, and tablets. And for customers in the U.S., ExpressVPN comes with Identity Defender, a new suite of tools to get your data removed from data brokers, alert you when your data is compromised on the dark web, and even insure you against data theft for up to $1 million. You know, for me, as I travel more for House of Glory, whether I'm in Chicago, Philadelphia, or anywhere else, I'm away from home. And because of that, I've been making sure that I have ExpressVPN enabled on my smartphone at all times, just to give me that peace of mind knowing that I'm protected. And that's important to me. With all these stories about planes falling out of the sky and near misses on runways, like, I'm stressed out enough about traveling in general, okay? I don't need to also worry about the data on my phone being seen by someone who shouldn't be seeing it. Not only that, you've heard me say this before, I've been using ExpressVPN on my iPad to connect to a Canadian server so I can watch Monday Night Raw without commercials, and I can see the segments that take place during the commercial breaks. So if you're a WWE fan, that's another reason to use ExpressVPN. Secure your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to find out how you can get up to 4 months extra free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. The main event, Swerve Strickland and Brody King, tag team partners, taking on Ricochet and Kazuchika Okada. Why Okada and Brody King? Because that has now been added to the Revolution card. So Okada is going to be defending his Continental title against Brody on Sunday. Early in the match, King picked up Okada and Ricochet on his shoulders, and Swerve hit a double Swerve stomp off the apron in a cool spot. Back inside, Ricochet got squashed with a senton by Brody King, and Strickland hit a diving uppercut off the ropes. Swerve tried a rolling flatliner. Ricochet, though, hit a codebreaker out of midair, took the upper hand heading into the final commercial break of the show. Strickland mounted a comeback and made the hot tag to King, who cleaned house and threw Ricochet around like he was nothing. Okada ducked a charge and an enziguri on the apron from Ricochet. That led to a frog splash for a two count. Okada went up for his big elbow. King, though, got to his feet, mowed him down with a lariat. Ricochet and Strickland, they tag into the match. And when Ricochet realizes that Swerve has tagged into this match, he tries to run for his life, and Okada wasn't there, so he couldn't tag out, and so he ends up getting his ass handed to him. Both men escape powerbomb attempts. Ricochet floated over one of them into a snap DDT for a nice near fall. The Spirit Gun and Vertigo, they were countered by Swerve, who could not hit Big Pressure, and Ricochet got a roll up for a two count. Strickland hit his rolling flatliner and the house call kick. But after he hit the Swerve stomp, Okada flew off the top with his elbow drop and he broke up the pin. So Okada and King, they slugged it out with forearms and chops until King dodged a rainmaker. He tried for a corner cannonball. Nobody home. And so he hits the turnbuckles and he ends up on his head. Okada goes outside. He grabs his continental title. He's going to use it as a weapon. Strickland flew in with a house call kick, though, right before he had the chance to actually use it. And he dropped the belt. King and Okada, they tumble out to the floor. And with the referee's attention diverted, I'll give you one guess as to who the referee was. Hello, Rick Knox. With his attention diverted, Ricochet blasts Swerve with the title belt, and he covers him, and he pins him. The second time now that Ricochet has pinned Swerve Strickland. This was a strong main event. Ricochet steals another win, and he did indeed, as I thought he would. He got his heat back from what happened in the contract signing segment to open the show, which does not bode well for his chances at the pay-per-view. I mean, look, Swerve lost to Bobby Lashley. Never got his win back there. They moved on. So he loses to Bobby Lashley. He loses to Ricochet. Gets stabbed in the head with a pair of scissors. And then tonight he gets pinned by Ricochet again in the main event. You mean to tell me you honestly believe that Swerve is going into this pay-per-view on Sunday only to lose again? Seems very unlikely to me. Meanwhile, Brody King, I thought he looked like a beast, man. He looked good in this match. The match with him and Okada, that's going to be a good one coming up on Sunday. No doubt about what the finish of that match is going to be, but it's going to be a good match. And that was your Dynamite Go Home show for Revolution, which is typically one of their biggest pay-per-views of the entire year. I thought it was good. Not as strong as some of the other episodes of Dynamite that we've had in recent weeks. They were kind of on a bit of a streak there. I'm not going to say, oh, the streak is over. This show was terrible. This show was not terrible. I felt like they did what they had to do, you know, to get over the key matches on this show. Kenny Omega was not there, so we got a video package hyping up the match with him and Takeshita. So there were a few people like that weren't there. The Hurt Syndicate wasn't there, but, you know, the MJF Hangman match, they shot the angle for that. The Tony and Mariah stuff I thought was very good. Swerve and Ricochet, you know, they had the opening segment and they had the closing segment. One thing you can't say about Ricochet is that, boy, did he make a mistake leaving WWE and going to AEW. He's in a much better position in AEW than he was in WWE. I mean, if we're being honest. You may not think much of the character. You may not think much of his promos. He's getting heat. But whatever you think about that, the position that he is in right now, the way that he's being featured right now, I think it's safe to say he made the right choice for him. Because he would not be featured in this way, getting the opening segment and the closing segment on the show, if he was still over on Monday Night Raw. So he bet on himself that, you know what, I've reached my ceiling in this company. I can do no more, right? They've got plenty of people here. They don't really need me. I'm not happy. I know I could do better. I know I could do more. I'm going to leave and I'm going to go somewhere else. And it could be hard because he comes into a company where you've got 1,000 Ricochets, right? There's a bunch of people on the roster right now in Ring of Honor and in AEW who can do amazing moves and who are incredible athletes who are doing things that you look at and go, my God, a human being shouldn't be able to do the things they do. In WWE, he was kind of an anomaly in that way, not so much in AEW. So what can we do to make him stand out more? What's the missing ingredient here for Ricochet, right? Promos are not his strong suit, right? But you got to cut them. You've got to be able to go out there and put a microphone in your hand and be able to grab the audience in some way, whether it's to get them to cheer you or boo you. The best thing that ever happened to Ricochet was him going heel, because it has made him a much more interesting character than he would have been if he was just fucking Ricochet going out there having matches. You know, these great matches like Hologram and the Beast Mortos and everybody else who goes out there and wows the crowd and has these great matches. So now he's this annoying heel who comes out there thinking he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He gets a lot of heat when he comes out there. He's got his little bird call that he does or whatever the hell it is, right? Ah! Again, I sound like evil Mickey Mouse when I do it, but that's what he sounds like to me. And he's in a good spot right now. I don't think he's winning on Sunday, but he's in a good spot right now. And I do think if they were to bring in Samantha, if she wants to be on TV and they want to work together and they want to put the two of them together and have her be his manager, you know what? I think that could actually work out real well for him. I'd like to see what that looks like. Maybe that will happen coming out of Revolution. We'll see. But I think they did what they needed to do as far as the key matches tonight. Now, let's look at the Twitter poll first, then we'll come back to this. So I want to do predictions, but what did you think of Dynamite before Revolution? Well, I mean, unfortunately, the streak is over in terms of these polls because they've been positive the last few weeks, but not tonight. 43% thumbs up, 57% thumbs down. So that is not a good score. You can vote at Solomonster on X. Let me come bring it back here. Here we go. Revolution is this Sunday, so let's go through this card from top to bottom. I'll give you my predictions. Here is the entire card. On the pre-show, we have the Costco guys are back. Big Boom AJ is all healed up from his broken foot. He's back in the ring, and this time they have him teaming with Mark Briscoe and Orange Cassidy to take on Johnny TV, who I forgot was even employed, and MXM Collection. Gee, I wonder who will win this match. Obviously, it's tailor-made for another Big Boom AJ win. All the people who shat on the idea of them wrestling at the last show, Full Gear, I think it was, for all the talk that, you know, oh my God, what are they doing? This is terrible. This is going to be awful. And people mocking it. And I was cracking jokes about it. But you know what? I watched that match. It was on the pre-show, first of all. So it wasn't even on the main card. And it turned out to be a very entertaining match. Now, I think they were in New Jersey for that show. And that's where they're from. They live in Florida now, but I think they're from New Jersey. So they probably had a lot of family and friends that were there. But like the crowd really responded to it. QT Marshall, he knew what his job was that night. And you know what? It was inoffensive. It was fun for what it was. If they could make this match into something like that, it's a fucking pre-show match. Who cares? Who cares? Maybe this will turn out to be a lot of fun. Maybe even more so, because now he's not the focus. It's not a singles match. He's got a couple of partners. The Rizzler might be back. Supposedly, the Rizzler is going to be back, right? The Rizzler. Hopefully, he doesn't get injured this time like he did the first time. Apparently, he got injured. That's what Joey Janela said. He got injured. I guess maybe when he rang the bell, maybe he hurt his hand. So anyway, the baby faces are going to go over here. I'm sure they'll add one or two or seven more matches to the fucking pre-show, but that's what we know of so far. That'll be on the 0 hour. Now, as far as the main card is concerned, we have the tag team titles on the line. Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin representing the Hurt Syndicate are going to be defending their titles against the Outrunners. Love that video tonight. And if it were any other time, I would say, put the titles on the Outrunners. Or there would have been a very good chance that, you know what, the Outrunners, this might be their moment tonight. Unfortunately, the timing for them is not ideal. Because the Hurt Syndicate are super over. They just won the titles. And there's no way, there's zero chance that they are losing those titles on Sunday. So the Hurt Syndicate's going to win. At least the Outrunners get a match on the pay-per-view, but that's about as good as it's going to get for them. We have the AEW Women's World Championship on the line. Toni Storm defending against Mariah May. That'll be a win for Toni Storm, as we just talked about. Swerve Strickland against Ricochet. Number one contenders match for the AEW World Championship. All signs point to a Swerve Strickland win. He needs this win. I think he gets this win. So I'm picking Swerve. Mercedes Moné defends the TBS title against Momo Watanabe. I mean, do I even have to say anything? I mean, come on. Mercedes will still have her four belts. Some people think she's going to have five belts soon. I think, you know, this interaction, these interactions that she's had recently with Billy Starks from Ring of Honor would seem to indicate there's a pretty good chance that it will eventually lead to Athena and Mercedes having a match. And if they're going to have a match, then she's going to have to end up on TV. So we might finally be close to getting Athena back on AEW television. And are we looking at a situation where Mercedes is simply going to beat Athena? And is Mercedes Moné going to be the one to end the whatever 800-day reign or whatever it is at this point that she has had as the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion? Because I think that would be fucking horrendous. I'm thinking the exact opposite as we look towards Texas, which is where Athena is from. I would have Athena be the one to beat her to win the TBS title. Let that be her full-time introduction into the AEW main roster. That Ring of Honor run needs to end. We need her on AEW TV, and she takes the TBS title from Mercedes. To throw the Ring of Honor title on Mercedes, the only way that works, the only way I would accept this is if that's the first match, they do it at Double or Nothing, or Dynasty, it could be either one. But it's the first match, they do it, Mercedes wins, she's the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, but it's all then to just get to Texas, you rematch them, and Athena beats her to win the TBS title. But why would you put the Ring of Honor World title on Mercedes? Paying her all this money? To do what? To put the Ring of Honor World Championship on her? Who cares? Mercedes and Athena, though, that should be the match for Texas. Momo Watanabe is not winning the TBS title. I'm sorry to all the Momo fans out there. Momo Watanabe fans, I know we have a huge... I'm sure we have a huge Momo Watanabe fan club in the chat right now. All seven of you. She's not winning the title on Sunday. I'm sorry to say. We have the Continental title being defended. Kazuchika Okada is putting his championship on the line against Brody King. This was just added to the show. Going to be a good one. Okada's not losing, but it's going to be a good one. Okada's not losing anything until he gets Kenny Omega. We're in like a holding pattern right now. And not only is he not losing it on Sunday, he can't lose it on Sunday. Because it ties into this next match, which is Kenny Omega challenging Konosuke Takeshita for the AEW International Championship. Kenny Omega told Takeshita last month, I dare you to try to beat me again. You pinned me at the first All In at Wembley Stadium in a six-man tag. You pinned me one-on-one in Chicago a few years ago at All Out. A few months later, Kenny almost died, and he missed over a year of action. Now he's back. I dare you to do it again. Kenny Omega needs to beat Takeshita. He needs to win the international title so that he could go to All In. They've already telegraphed, and I mean, my God, they had the face-to-face. The banner was right there in the background. We already know that that's the destination. Champion against champion, title for title. There's already rumors out there from Fightful that they're talking about a possible unification. Don't talk about it. Do it. Unify the international title and the continental title. Get rid of the continental title. It was never needed in the first place. The Continental Classic does not need a belt. You have one AEW international champion. That's it. Omega, Okada, champion against champion, title for title, and you finish it in July at All In. The match that I'm sure Tony wanted to do at the first All In at Wembley, but couldn't, or last year, whatever it was, now he'll have a chance to do it. But that's how I would do it. There's no need for those two titles to exist. The international title is fine. The continental title is completely useless. The only reason that Okada has a belt right now was to do this. I believe that. I firmly believe that. They wanted a belt on him so that they could eventually do this match and then unify and just get rid of the belt. That's what they need to do. To do that, though, Kenny has to beat Takeshita. And I think he will. We have Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay in a steel cage match. Kyle Fletcher would certainly gain a lot by winning this match. I don't think he's going to. I don't think it'll kill him. He's going to go out there. He's going to have a hell of a match. Will Ospreay is going to pull out the win, though. And not just because he was left laying tonight. I felt that way now for the last couple of weeks. I think it's Ospreay and Omega. I think they're both going over on this show. So he's going to win that cage match. We have MJF and Hangman Page. This match here is very interesting because this could end up tying directly into the world title picture heading into Texas, depending on where the pieces fall, who ends up as the world champion. Is it a babyface? Is it a heel? We don't know yet, right? But this match here, it's not a number one contenders match. We actually have a number one contenders match. That's the Swerve and the Ricochet match. But I do think ultimately it's going to be very important whoever comes out of this with a win. MJF should win this match. Hangman Page should not win this match on Sunday. MJF needs to win. When they circle back around to it a second time, that's when Hangman gets the win. This is chapter one of a longer-term story here. Has to be. It has to be. But under no circumstances that I think, how should this match go? Where might it lead? Under none of these scenarios should Hangman Page beat MJF on Sunday. So I'm going with MJF for the win. And then we have, for the AEW World Championship, Jon Moxley defending against Adam Copeland. I think that Jay White is going to leave Los Angeles with the AEW World Championship. And how we get there is exactly what I talked about before. Christian Cage is going to attempt to cash in that contract. Jay White is going to come out and beat him up. He's going to put his name on the contract. He is going to screw Adam Copeland out of the title, whether he beats him for it or he enters himself into the match and ends up pinning him and beating him, and Moxley doesn't even have to get pinned. However it's done, Jay White, I do believe, is leaving Revolution as the AEW World Champion and as a heel again. And that's how I think they end up going off the air. That's their big moment this year at Revolution. We have a new world champion crown, but it's not quite the person that you think. And we don't have Christian running around for another 3 or 4 or 5 months with that contract. Right now, that's the entire Revolution card. We'll see if they add any more match. I think the main card is pretty solid. They probably will add something on the pre-show, but the main card seems like it's got enough. I don't think they need to add anything else to it. And on paper, it looks like an excellent show. I don't know when it's going to end, but when it does, I'll be live on Sunday night to talk about it. So hopefully you will be here too. All right, let's kick things off here. Who are we starting with? Let's see. Who came in first? St. Clair from Los Angeles, celebrating my birthday. Happy birthday, St. Clair. You didn't tell me how old you are. Has a big moment in wrestling happened on your birthday? Goldberg beat Owens at Fastlane in 2017 on mine. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. At least tonight, I got the debut of Evolve. That's right, Evolve debuted on 2B tonight. Some stiff competition for Tony Khan. I don't know that there has... On my birthday... Oh, yeah, you know what? There was something that happened on my fucking birthday. Yeah, that's right. Seth Rollins and The Fiend. Thanks for reminding me. Hell in a Cell, 2019. That's what happened on my birthday. Dethronic78. Who the hell is getting Amazon Prime to watch a pay-per-view when you're paying the same price for the pay-per-view without it? You're not really understanding. So if you are an existing Amazon Prime customer, or if you would like to become an Amazon Prime subscriber because you like some of the content on Amazon Prime, all that they're saying is you now have the ability to order the AEW pay-per-views through Amazon Prime. It's just another way that you can order the show. If it's easier for you to go into that app and just hit a button and order it, you have that option now. That's all that means. Nothing more, nothing less. Power Spine Games, rest in peace, Roy Ayers. My life in the sunshine. Yeah, I feel like there have been a lot of rest in peace messages, unfortunately, lately. Doesn't it feel that way? Joseph says, hey, Solo, good show. I hate to say it, but Yuta Swerve. I'm hoping that it happens, but it's just to lead to like a dramatic near fall. Dude, I'm telling you, if this main event ends like that with Wheeler Yuta pulling a swerve and that's how it ends, I mean, I don't think they could book a finish any worse. I really don't. I don't think they could book a finish any worse. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the $5 super chat. He doesn't give a fuck, he says, what John Cena does or doesn't do because he's not a Fed guy. He hates the Fed. Down with the Fed. Love you, Solo. Right back at you, brother. The voice of Space Ghost passed away. Yes, I mentioned that. Somebody brought that up the other night. Dev to Dust, Luka Doncic or Nikola Jokic. I don't care about either one, so I'll go with Luka. He probably makes more money. Oz and Glorious, keep an eye out for my sound off board at Revolution. This time it won't be confiscated for anti-Garcia content, I promise. No, what you need to do is just write like on one side, Daniel Garcia is awesome. And then when they get you on TV, you flip it. And you got the sound off on the back. Eminem with the $20 super chat. We are 9 out of 10, by the way, on the super chat goal. And now we are 10 out of 10. I spoke too soon. That means we're getting a bonus. Be the booker. And everybody cheers. Eminem says, my prediction for the AW World title. I see Cope winning the title, only for Jay Wright. Who's Jay Wright? Is that a new rookie who just debuted? Says it right there. Wright. Only for Jay Wright to hit the Blade Runner on Cope, and Christian comes out to cash in and become the new AEW World Champion. Deja vu all over again. Brother, Jay White hates Christian Cage. Why would he be okay with helping Christian win the world title? It would actually make more sense for him to steal the contract from Christian and put his name on it and then have him win the title. Why would he give a shit? Why would he help Christian, of all people, win the world title? That's just a bridge I cannot cross. It just doesn't make sense. You were close. You didn't stick the landing on that prediction, but you were close. Oz and Gloria says, hit that like button. Too many close calls. Yeah, where are we on the likes? I haven't even checked. We are at 391. We're actually 9. So right now we're only at 1 round to be the booker then. I thought we were already at 2. Oz says, use a VPN and pay-per-views are $20. Solo's even got a code. He does. It's actually in the description down below. I got a great VPN that you can use. Oz says, Kyle looks like he's the new singer of Crazy Town. Small point, but another thing I'm digging about the venues AEW is running is that they all have much better acoustics. So the shows all sound better. It was a little echoey, I thought, tonight. But yeah, I mean, overall, it is better. It is much improved from the way it was just by virtue of the buildings being more full, because they're smaller. Big difference between running a venue like they ran tonight and running an NBA building where you have 3,500 people and you can, you know, fit 18,000 in there. It's going to sound a lot different. Bobby's World says, random, but just want to say, Hogan Taker 91, call my wife, brother. Kills me every time you talk about it. It's more like call an eye doctor and watch the footage again, Hogan. It is one of the great stories. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Calling all you men out there, all you wrestling fans. Once upon a time, Shawn Michaels lost his smile and he had to go find it again. Well, he did find his smile. And if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean that you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who have found their hair again. Hair loss is way more common than you may think, but that's why I'm here, to tell you about a solution to that problem so that you can avoid all the stress and all the self-consciousness that comes with losing your hair. So you don't even have to talk about it. Because really, who wants to talk about that? Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. You know, it can be discouraging to look in the mirror and find a head looking back at you that doesn't look like what it used to. That's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple. With doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. See, you got options. Better yet, Hims makes the process simple and convenient, and it is 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. You don't need to have a panic attack just by sitting in their waiting room. This takes all of that stress out of the equation. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is then sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/solomonster. That's HIMS.com/solomonster for your personalized hair loss treatment options. HIMS.com/solomonster. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Duff's Vids, what do you call a moose with no name? Anonymous. I call him the X Division champion. Just when you thought food couldn't call you on your phone, boom, onion rings. What do you call a laughing motorcycle? A Yamaha. Oh, dude. You should have quit with the onion rings one. Then you had to go and ruin it. Eminem with the 25. I'm surprised the director of Queen of the Ring did not ask Brie to be in the movie. It's expected that Cora Jade is out for sacrifice, so do you see Tessa Blanchard as the replacement or a battle royal to determine who is number one? So what was the match at Sacrifice? Was it Cora against Masha? I don't know. I don't know who the replacement would be. I guess Tessa would make sense. Oz and Glorious, Jay White is champion. Don't give me hope. Oh, I think it's very likely. That's what I think. The Juliet 316. Jay White stealing, signing, and cashing in Christian's contract makes as much sense as Cena signing in Balor's place on the SummerSlam 2023 contract. Hashtag Cena was heel then. Thoughts on the AEW Amazon pay-per-view deal? I've already talked about it. I think it's great. The more options that you can give people, I don't want to overrate it because it doesn't really mean much more than that. But it's great to, you know, widen the net. You want to cast a wide net and give people more options to order your shows. So it can only be a good thing for AEW. And to have that relationship with Amazon, I think is a good thing. Hey, Hassan. Salute to you as well, brother. David Thiering with the 27. Do you want Solomonster to go after your soul? Well, hit that like button to keep him happy until Friday Night SmackDown. Need to pick up the likes. Well, I think now we are currently, where are we here? 411. Two rounds of Be the Booker have been activated. Eminem says, I'm calling this one. MJF against Hangman's match this Sunday will lead to an Iron Man match at Double or Nothing. And the rubber match will end in a Texas death match at All In. Both men have had incredible Iron Man matches in AEW. MJF was actually part of the greatest Iron Man match I think that has ever been held. Him and Bryan Danielson in the Iron Man match they had at, well, I think it was Revolution, actually, is the best Iron Man match I've ever seen. Hangman had an excellent one on TV with Bryan Danielson many years ago. So if you put the two of them in an Iron Man match, I think they would kill it. Marquan had a shitty day thanks to Solo and the chat. Boy, I thought you said you had a shitty day thanks to me. Had a shitty day thanks to Solo and the chat bringing a smile to my face. Well, that's why we're here. We put smiles on faces. See? I'm like a WWE superstar. I put smiles on faces. Now that John Cena is no longer putting smiles on faces, I now have to fill the role that he has now left for other people. So I will fill that role. Number one, Homo Sapien with the $20 super chat. If we don't get the likes up, Triple H will book Omos against Goldberg in an Iron Man submission match for WrestleMania. Well, thankfully, we have hit our goal. That's a horrifying idea, by the way. Super Pony, did they drop the AJ Braun feud? There was no feud. It was a segment. They did a similar segment with Braun and Penta. It was a tease. It could be leading to a multi-man match. We don't know. But, I mean, there was no feud to speak of. So how could they drop something that didn't exist? Levi Atkins says, Christian will walk out of Revolution as the champion. Tony Khan took it personally when he heard the story of how Vince treated Christian in his return in 09 and wants to give him his flowers. You know what? If the name on the championship nameplate is not Moxley coming out of the show, then I'm fine with it. Okay with me. David Theory, hit the like button or the chat will boo louder than the crowd did to Hulk Hogan on Saturday night's main event. Well, you mean the Netflix premiere. David says, what were you saying about creepy Solomonster? Goldberg would like a word with you. He has no words, though. It's just, ugh. He just grunts. There's really no words.
Why does it sound like Goldberg has gas? Sounds like Goldberg had some Taco Bell.
I was trying to do like a grunt, like Goldberg would. It sounded like I have acid reflux. I don't know what that was. Be calm, see clearly. My fear is they don't want to pin Moxley. With your idea, they don't have to pin Moxley, but nobody will pin Moxley until Danielson. Or Darby. Don't forget about Darby. David Thiering with that $69 super chat. After being reminded of Seth Rollins against The Fiend that happened on your birthday, allow me to attempt to put a smile back on your face. With the ghost. It's been a minute since I've heard that. Yeah, it's been a while. Number one, Homo Sapien. I didn't like my beard at first, but then it grew on me. Oh, jeez. You know, I blame Sidro for this. This is all his fault. Eminem. It grew on you. Eminem says, I have a secret. I see double B the Booker. So do I. BCOM C clearly. I tried to wait, but I hope WWE doesn't give up on Rhea because I actually like watching Rhea. And off is the direction Lakers fans can fuck. Go Suns. Give up on Rhea. Why would you think they're giving up on Rhea? Where would you get that from? What horrible podcast were you listening to where that was even suggested? Don't listen to those people. Don't ever listen to them ever again. In fact, give me their name. I will go fuck them up. Justin G, thank you for the gifted membership. And Oz and Glorious, predictions for CM Punk's inevitable meltdown date. Somebody will piss him off, I would say, by June of 2026. That'll be an early prediction. He's on his best behavior right now, though. That's good to see. There's still time, though. All right. You guys earned it. You guys killed it. We hit our regular goal. We hit our secondary goal. And now it is time, as I crack the knuckles here, to be the Booker. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Ah, there he is, MJF, back during his American title run. Look at the little Care Bear there in the corner. What's his name? All right, here we go. This is going to be round number one. And we're going to begin here with tag teams, as we usually do here. And so, we begin with Enzo and Cass. Colin Cassidy and Enzo Amore had a hell of a run for themselves in NXT. I don't think they ever won the titles, though. Enzo and Cass. They should have been much bigger than they were. Going to be taking on Well Done. Well Done. That was not Well Done. And it gets us off to a horrible start here in Be the Booker. I don't like this. Right away, our chances of a clean sweep are immediately foiled. Just immediately foiled. The poison pill strikes again. 0-for-1. All right, women's Be the Booker. We begin with Charlotte Flair. Get used to it, people. You see that image right there? That's what you're going to be seeing at WrestleMania this year. Get used to it. I should take that photo and keep it handy for the inevitable thumbnail. Charlotte Flair is going to go one-on-one with Zoe Stark. How are we feeling about Charlotte Flair against Zoe Stark? Because I'm feeling like that's bell-worthy. And I don't think that match has ever happened before. We don't get to see a lot of Zoe, but like if you've seen Zoe, especially back in her NXT run, I think Charlotte and Zoe could have a good one. No, you could disagree, but I gave it the bell. And guess what? I'm the booker and you're not, so I can do that. You don't like it? Book your own promotion. I'm the booker around here. And now we get to our main event. The bad guy. Razor Ramon. Look at Razor Ramon, man. This guy oozing. Oozing coolness. That's why he was such a big star. Never a world champion, though. But Razor Ramon was pretty badass. Now we find out who he's stepping into the ring with. Let's see. Razor Ramon will take on Sami Zayn. The honorary Oos. Sami Zayn and Razor Ramon. I like it. One generation wrestling the next generation. Two great wrestlers. That's what I love to see. So we ended up with 2 out of 3, so we actually recovered quite well. That would have been a hell of a match. Scott Hall, man, some of the best worked punches you will ever see in a wrestling ring, thrown by Scott Hall. Honestly, he may have had the best punch. Jarrett's got a really good one, Lawler, Brett. But Scott Hall, man, he may have been the best. So now we're going to do a second round because you guys unlocked it. Thank you for that. So we'll pick a stipulation for each of these matches. We usually bust out the stipulations for the bonus rounds. Sometimes to our detriment. Hopefully tonight is not one of those nights. So our first match, and we're going to start with the women tonight in round number 2. The women's match is going to be a Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Ugh. I didn't need to see it the first time. Now we're getting it for a second time. Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. All right. Must we do this? Our glow-in-the-dark match for the night. Bliss fan says it has to be Alexa. Can you imagine if it did end up being Alexa Bliss? We begin with not Alexa Bliss. We begin with Nia Jax. She's not like most girls, or so I'm told. What do you think about that, Bliss fan? Nia Jax is going to be taking on nobody because we have landed on Fatal 4-Way. So we are going to have ourselves a Fatal 4-Way Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. So we're going to have 4 people beating the crap out of each other in the dark. This already sounds like a disaster. We have 1 person. We have to pick 3 more. This is going to be quite the match here. We have Nia Jax, and let's see who her first opponent is going to be. Ivory. Nia Jax and Ivory. Luna Vachon. I love Luna Vachon. Actually, Luna Vachon in a pitch black match, it kind of fits. And rounding out the Fatal 4-Way is Mercedes Moné. Nia Jax, Mercedes Moné, Luna Vachon, and Ivory. You've got Mercedes, and you've got Luna. Like, those two alone are going to make this a fucking great match. Then you throw in Ivory, who back in her day, I mean, she goes back to the glow days. Like, Ivory knew how to work. And then you round it out with Nia Jax. I have to give that the bell. That actually sounds like a really interesting match. I don't know about that stipulation, but that actually sounds like an interesting match. Well, not the match that I was expecting, but yeah, it actually worked out. I'm kind of shocked. I thought for sure we were headed for the buzz, but Tom says, hold up, you cooked, Solid Monster. Yes, I did. We cooked with that match. Let's see if we can cook again, because we're going to have a hardcore match. We're going to have a hardcore tag team match, because we're booking tags right now. We're booking a tag team match. So hardcore tag team match is the stipulation here. Bret Hart and Owen Hart will be on one side of the ring. See, hardcore match is not really their area of expertise, but I think Brett and Owen can make it work. Brett and Owen are going to be... Wow, look at this. Look at this. See, this stipulation, though, this stipulation's all wrong for this match, but a hardcore tag team match with Bret and Owen Hart against Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas, the world's greatest tag team. Holy shit. Talk about great matches that we never got to see. Now we're cooking. You thought I was cooking with the last match. This right here is a fucking feast. That's what this is. Man. I think the closest thing we ever got to that with Bret and Owen, they wrestled the Steiners once on a Coliseum video. Maybe they'll put that up on the vault. I think it was like WrestleFest 94. They just put WrestleFest 91 on the Vault channel on YouTube, which is awesome because it's hosted by Randy Savage as he's lounging around his house. So maybe one day they'll put the video up of the Bret Owen and Steiners match. Right now, all I can find is grainy video of it on like fucking Daily Motion. All right. Stipulation now for our main event. We're doing well, man. We're doing well. We got to keep this going. We got one left. This match is going to be a bull rope match. Okay. Our main event is going to be a bull rope match. Well, you know, Dusty is in Be the Booker. Cody's in Be the Booker. Either of them in a bull rope match would make sense. Dominic Mysterio is going to be in a bull rope match. That's bullshit. And his opponent is going to be Mr. Brody Lee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have got ourselves a clean sweep. After all, in Be the Booker. Just to watch Brody Lee take that bull rope and just whip the shit out of Dominic, that would be very entertaining. You got your clean sweep. See, aren't you happy you got your two rounds of Be the Booker? We were able to redeem ourselves. Awesome. That's how we end things. That's how you end Be the Booker. That's what I like to see.
I have one pair of skinny jeans, and I'm going to wear them every week just to piss you off.
Dave Bautista, man, Hollywood Dave, he loves his skinny jeans. And I love those $35 super chats from David Thiering. Thank you, David. Duff's Vids. Probably won't happen, but could we see babyface Goldberg against heel John Cena sometime this year before both retire? P.S. You laughed at the motorcycle joke. Barely. I'm going to say no. I think Goldberg is only coming back for one match anyway. Why even waste a John Cena match on Goldberg? It would be a waste. Super Pony, it's going to be Kevin Owens that sets Punk off. I could see that. There's no love lost there. David with the 35 says, speaking of Super Chats, we haven't seen in a while. Last one for tonight, now that I've blown past the fourth wall. David, you knocked down all the walls tonight, man. You're a trailblazer here. Thank you, brother. Be calm, see clearly. Maybe people were joking. I'm mad that she lost. Rhea is great, and I do love Io Sky. By the way, it just surprised me for some reason that Rhea lost. Yeah, it was surprising to everybody. Everybody was shocked. But she'll find her way back into the match. I don't necessarily think she's just going to get the belt back, but I think she'll find her way back into the match. Am I going to Vegas? No plans right now. I wish I was going to be there, but I'll be here covering the show as of this moment, and then I'll be in Chicago the following week, and then 2 weeks later I'll be back in Chicago for House of Glory. Arabian Night. Why does AEW seem to have less commercial breaks than Raw and SmackDown? Even when SmackDown was 2 hours, the constant breaks were insufferable. AEW just flows better. I mean, it's possible that WWE, they just have more sponsors. And maybe they have a few extra breaks. To me, it's I don't know, it feels more or less the same to me. Although with my trusty VPN, I no longer have commercials on Raw. I have commercials on SmackDown, though. And Justin G, it's the greatest night in the history of our sport. Yes, it is. Would that be the Booker? Yes, it is. Now, we have a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday night, and we'll be live after that. But there's going to be a big post-show on Friday, because I have a feeling this is going to be a big episode of SmackDown. Now, I'm not expecting John Cena to be there. I don't think we're going to see him for a few weeks. The Rock might be there. Cody Rhodes is supposed to give his response to what happened to him at Elimination Chamber. But it's the first SmackDown coming out of that Chamber show. Randy Orton is going to be there. Jade Cargill is supposed to be there. So it sounds like a lot of like the real follow-up to the Chamber is being saved for Friday. So that's going to be a big night. It should be a big stream. Hopefully you guys are here to join me for that. I hope I get to see you back here. Blue Jay says, excited to see Mike Santana in El Paso, Texas. HOG rep. Yes, Santana's been killing it. And he's been our champion now for well over a year. Doing good stuff in TNA. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be the TNA World Heavyweight Champion at some point before this year is up. And with them having a working relationship with WWE, I think that it only means bigger and better things for him in the future. He's been proving a lot of people wrong who just saw him as a tag team wrestler and nothing more. So it's been cool to see him go out and put together the body of work that he's been putting together. BCOM C clearly says, I do like the root of all evil, Charles Mason. So you're the one. You're the one who likes him. Interesting. I don't care for the man, personally. But I might be a little biased. So I might not be the best person to be asking about that. Abyss and New Jack and Billy Gunn were confirmed to be DLC in WWE 2K25. You know, the most shocking part about that, honestly, is New Jack. Like, how did that happen? Like, out of nowhere, New Jack is in a WWE game. Like, imagine being the parent that has to explain that to their child. Who's this guy? Oh, that's New Jack's son. You should look up some of his work. I've got some very interesting promos that he cut back in his days working in Memphis that you should probably watch. Or Smoky Mountain, right? It was Smoky Mountain. When he gave the shout out to OJ Simpson. Oh, man. Yeah, New Jack, it is. New Jack in a WWE game is not something I was expecting. Loved your New Jack review, Solo? Yeah. Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah, I had my thoughts on New Jack on there. It's up on the channel. There's actually a playlist on the channel. There are a bunch of playlists that I created a while back. And there is a Dark Side of the Ring playlist. So a lot of those segments are cut. They're all there. We have a new season starting in a few weeks. I think March, 25th? If that's a Tuesday, then that's when the new season starts. So once the new season of Dark Side of the Ring starts up, I'll be doing reviews again. So that'll be something to look forward to. Wonder who in WWE pushed for New Jack. Triple H, maybe. I don't think Triple H was pushing for New Jack. Honestly, it was probably just somebody who worked for 2K. And they got WWE to clear it. BCOM, see clearly. I don't mean... Or don't... Oh, not the person. His matches have a lot of heat. That's all solo. It's fun seeing him get his ass kicked. Oh, talking about Mason? Yeah. Yeah, the Daphne episode, that's going to be the tough one. That's not going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it because I think it's just perfect material for that show. But yeah, that's not going to be a fun show. Blue Jay says, New Jack against Nick Gage against Mick Foley. Who wins? Well, Foley's definitely not winning. Foley never had an issue doing a job in his life. I'm going to say New Jack. I think New Jack wins that one. Do I remember the Legends of Wrestling video game trilogy? I remember the game. I didn't know there was a trilogy. Hogan was in that, right? I remember Hogan being in the artwork for it. I don't remember there being more than one. Yeah, I'm sure his family or his estate or whatever will get royalty. Yeah, they're not putting him in the game and not giving royalties to somebody to use his likeness. Somebody had to sign off on that. Mass Transit would beat them all. Yeah, I have no memory of those games. Other than the first one, which I didn't play. So I can't really comment on it beyond that. When does 2K25 actually come out? Like, when's the drop date for the game? Is it next week? Is it this week or next week? Yeah, Hogan was in it. RVD and Eddie were too. Interesting. Next Friday. Okay, so March 14th is when 2K25 comes out. Believe it or not, I never played Saturday Night Slam Masters. I never did. Gypsy Joe needs to be a DLC. Does Gypsy Joe just not sell in the game like he didn't sell in real life? Zombified Guitarist says New Jack confirmed DLC for Mortal Kombat 1. Legends of Wrestling was actually meant to be an ECW game. Then why the hell was Hogan in it? We'll see as far as Sound Off Gamer if we get back to that. Maybe I'll get a code. If somebody has a code for 2K25, maybe we'll play some. I don't know. We'll see. I got very discouraged after the last one. I played like twice and that was the end. I rage quit and that was it. I never went back to it. I never went back to 2K24. I said, fuck this game, and that was it. You remember, I mean, look, you guys watched some of those Sound Off Gamers. I don't know if it was the last one that I did, but I remember I was playing it, and I think I whipped the Undertaker, like Irish whipped him into the ropes, and he just froze. Like, the game is active. You hear the crowd and everything, but like, he just stopped running, and it just froze. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a bad sign. And then I got screwed in some other way. And I was like, this game is garbage. I'm not playing this anymore. And that was it. Justin G says, I heard Tavish is DLC in WWE 2K25. I heard Travis Scott is going to be DLC. After his great performance on Saturday, they're going to add him as a DLC to 2K25. His finishing maneuver is going to be the open hand slap. BCOM, see clearly, yes, Mason, and Mason, he is a horrible person with a great gimmick. Gimmick? You don't know him very well. Don't worry, he'll get his one of these days. I'm sure the commissioner will take care of that. Snowdog says, the last wrestling game I played was AEW Fight Forever. I played Fight Forever, too. I did a few Sound Off Gamers. It just didn't have any replay value. I just remember, like, I'm my character is sitting in a restaurant eating. Like, the cutscenes were, like, me in a restaurant eating, and then these disgusting eating noises. And it's like I've never eaten anything. I sound like an alien or something, like I'm inhaling it. I'm like, what is this? And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I'm eating stuff and I'm like, okay, this is not very entertaining, but all right. I go to the gym, I'm working out. I'm getting a phone call from Tony Khan. I'm taking pictures. I'm going sightseeing. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Then I start playing and they have like a Molotov cocktail match and they have an exploding barbed wire death match. Then they added Stadium Stampede. And honestly, I did not play Stadium Stampede. I did hear some people tell me it was fun. I never did play Stadium Stampede, so I can't really say one way or the other. The game just didn't have any replay value. It got very boring after two or three times. There's no story. See, there's no story. So you get bored. All right, well, this has been fun. Let's table this until Friday night. We'll pick up with the conversation after SmackDown, which I'm sure will be a very eventful show. And then Revolution, of course, Sound Off 904 as well, coming up this Sunday. So plenty of content coming your way and on the channel. In fact, if you missed any of the content over the last few days, also had TNT with JD on his channel last night. I think we went almost 4 hours there wasn't a whole lot to talk about this week, so we had a very interesting discussion there as well. Are you sick of me yet? Are you sick of me yet? No? Good. Then I'll see you back here on Friday night. Be well. Stay safe. Be calm. See clearly. He's going to get the last word here. Solo, you have to make it happen to Charles Mason for the people. We need it. And Santana would be a good person to do it. Well, you know, he does have a contract for a world championship match, so I have a feeling that match is inevitable, whether we like it or not. But thank you, brother, for the support. And I will see you guys back here on Friday night for the SmackDown Post Show. Until then, take care, guys. Snowdog says, I want your soul, Solomonster. Well, you can't have my soul. I'm not giving it to you.